searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I would say that I am pretty much a bougwa today.
Oh my god. For a second, I thought you were saying like a space bougwa. And then
a bougwa?
Yeah, no, it's a goobwa.
Fuck. Can we restart?
No, I'm leaving that as it is. Because it makes it even better.
A goobwa.
A goobwa. A
goobwa. A goobwa.
Yeah. Bwa.
You know, there's no real pronunciation or writing. Like,
I wrote
like,
it.
No,
yeah, I wrote it out as A-G-O-O-B-W-A. A goobwa.
A goobwa.
That's how I
heard mean, it works.
I wonder if I watched it with closed captioning, what that would say.
The first time I watched it, I did watch it with closed captioning, and I still messed it up. Hmm. It's because it's not a real word, Corey.
No, it's not. Not a real spoiler word. Alert, not a real word.
Not a real word.
Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry, Budsy. That's what I call Oliver all the time.
Budsy?
Budsy. Yeah. Oliver's my dog, if you don't know.
No, for everybody out there who has a pet, I'd be interested to know what you call your dog that isn't your dog's name. Because everybody has a full list. Like, it turns, one thing turns into another, and it turns into another, and then you're calling your dog, like, Mr. Sprinklestein. And, it, like, that's not even close.
And there's no even reason why. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to know.
Well, it's because he's Bud, and then Bud, and then Budsy. So there's always, like, a chain reaction.
Yeah, I totally get that. Winston was Winky, turned into Dinky, turned into Stinky Bear, turned into Winky Bear. Mm-hmm. He has a million names.
Yeah. Belle, what is Belle? And then it turned to, like, Meow. And then it was, like, Meepers. And then, yeah, and we just call her Meepers all the time.
Meepers, that's a great one.
Meepers.
Yeah, Winston, like, Winston is like, has a million names. And then we're dog sitting Lincoln this week. And my favorite is, because we'll call him like Stinkin' Lincoln, or we'll call him like Abraham Stinkin', which is a fun one. But otherwise, he's just Lincoln. Little Linky.
How was your day? Was it a boobwa?
Oh my god, it was like the biggest agoobwa you've ever fucking met in your life. It was just like awful from start to finish. But now we're here, which is a great time to be here because, yeah, so for those who don't know, we're going through a kitchen renovation right now. And my dad is doing it, which also means that, like, we're involved. We didn't just hire a contractor and don't have to do anything. You know, we're helping with a demo and all of that. And part of the demo is removing tile. And I mean, it's like not fun, but it also is more painful than one would imagine because little
physically painful.
Yes, because what happens is little
not emotionally
both
physically more painful.
But like what happens is you generally take a you take a chisel and you take a hammer and you try to get behind the tile and then it basically gets the tile off the wall, right? Problem being that when you take a chisel and you take a hammer and you go at a tile, sometimes pieces of the tile chip off. Well, when pieces of the tile chip off, usually they either hit you in your body or, in my case, hit me in the face and chip my new glasses, which is what
happened. went just now?
Today, earlier today. So I'm wearing my old glasses because
Jessica,
not my fault. The fucking things, and I have scratches up and down my arms. You'd think I got into a fight with the glasses. Cat. Well, I didn't know. I thought they'd come off in whole pieces.
Wow.
I said, I've never been through a home renovation.
So what, now you have to go back to the Pearl Vision and like...
Yeah, I have to go back to Vision Works. And this is like a whole other gripe of like how customer service works with any fucking company where I'm on the phone for like 20 minutes and I just get a robot who like doesn't understand that I don't need an eye exam. And then I go online and I go to the same thing. So I have an appointment for an eye exam that I don't need. I simply just need to bring my glasses in to get a lens replaced. Which is going to be expensive, which is a whole other thing. It's been a day. Oh, I'm on my second drink as a result because I just can't. Luckily for me, I have backup glasses. Yeah. It's not the end of the world. It is just a frustration that I am dealing with today. So today I am definitely indulging in a 90s nightcap because of the day it has been. And I'm drinking a standard Captain and Diet because that is my drink of choice. I would have Coke Zero. In an ideal world, I would have Coke Zero, but it is a diet. So that's fine.
Oh, a Diet Coke?
Well, it's like this. It's like, you know what it is. It's like the SodaStream diet. Oh, right, cola. Right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I gotcha.
Still good.
Oh, wow. Well,
get some job done.
I have a uncharacteristic for me, but I have a Bluefin Riesling. So we're going with a white wine today.
I love a Riesling. Who is she?
I don't know.
Is Bluefin good? I don't think I've ever had that brand.
It's sweet. I mean, it's like, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's not like a nice wine. It's like cheap, but
yeah.
What we're gonna do?
I mean, cheap wine gets the job done. Like, who needs the bougie shit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's very true. Mm-hmm. Very true. I mean, we could get into a whole sponsored post about Warby Parker because I have my glasses right here. And it doesn't read well on an audio medium, but I really do want you to, like, finalize my final selection for Warby Parker.
Yeah, a lot of glasses talk here today. I hope we get some spons for some glasses companies.
Gotta tell you, not sponsored by Warby Parker quite yet, but so far the experience is quite enjoyable.
I've considered, last time I needed glasses, I considered it just with COVID going on and everything like that. But I also needed an eye exam. So it was kind of like, well, I might as well just go to the place to two birds, one stone it. Which is what I ended up doing. But I like the idea of like getting sent a bunch of pairs to try at home because I like getting a second opinion.
Yeah, totally. So like everybody and their mother has looked at my glasses options by now and I've narrowed it down. I'm pretty positive I know which one I'm going to go in. Jessica's making me be responsible enough spending money on two pairs.
Was I asked if you had an HSA. I asked what your vision insurance was like. For all you non-Americans, we have to have vision insurance here in the States.
Because it's not, your eyes and your teeth are not covered under general.
No, because why would they? They're not normally a part of anybody's body, right? They're like extra.
Yeah, extra accessories. Yeah. I do know that I think for dental, that is quite common to not be included in general health insurance. But eyes, I don't understand why eyes are not.
I don't understand why any of it is all on its own to me. It's all stupid in my opinion, but luckily I have decent vision insurance, so I can get new pairs every year. But like, the reason I was asking you is because it can get quite expensive depending on how poor your eyesight is to get multiple pairs of glasses. But it really just depends on how poor your vision is. Mine are pretty expensive.
I don't really think so. I think it's just generally expensive. I mean, maybe you and I have different views of what expensive is.
Well, it's generally expensive anyway, but like because I have astigmatisms in both of my eyes, it just adds onto the cost. And if you like need bifocals, right, that like adds onto the cost. It's like any little thing that is wrong with your eyes, it's like, oh, let me bump that up by $50 because your body sucks.
Sucks for you.
Yeah, it's been a day. I apologize. I'm not going to be cranky for the podcast, but it has been a day, and this is like what I rant and rave about, I guess. Vision.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like a vision.
Mm-hmm. Everybody can relate.
Yeah, I have a vision. It's me and you going to the future, starting our own band, and
can you imagine
the band? A band. It would be called the Schmegzits.
The Schmegzits.
And, And coincidentally, that's what Corey and Sean do on our first episode of Boy Meets World.
That was a wonderful segue. Congratulations on that segue.
It would be even better if you didn't, like, be meta and, congratulate me on my transition. It's like guys, like, just to remind we're not professional podcasters. just to remind you. Call it out.
Listen, we are growing. We are learning. The segue was wonderful. It was great. I felt the need to compliment you on it. Next time, I'll just DM you after and be like, by the way, Sarah, that was a great segue.
I mean, I think that's probably what the professionals do.
Do you think they do that? Do you think they DM each other and they're like, by the way, that segue was like fantastic?
I think that in their first year, they probably do. But I don't think that the big wigs, I don't think like Adam Carolla is like texting his like podcaster mate and being like, good job, like good ep today. Yeah. You know what I mean?
We just like to pat ourselves on the back most of the time, so
typically
yes. So
now how am I supposed to wrap
I'll do it. We like to amp ourselves up, and you use amps when you're in a band on the Run, season 1, episode 8, Boy Meets World. It wasn't as good as yours, but it's doable. Anyway, we're talking season 2, episode 8 and 9, but the first one is Band on the Run. I'm sorry. For anybody, if there's going to be some background noise probably today in this podcast because we're dog sitting. So I had not one, but two dogs to try to wrangle here. And it's already a mess because they both want to be in here with me.
Like, the amount of physical body movements Jessica is doing right now. Listen, she's all over the map. She's like in the northwest angle of the screen, the southeast angle. She's doing like a challenge. She's moving her
because
chair.
I'm trying to both maintain the composure of a professional podcaster. This podcast has ads now. Like, we're legit. And yet, here I am trying to use my feet to knock a toy out of a dog's mouth. And that's where I am today, people. People will enjoy the mess, I think. Anyway, back to the mess that is this episode.
What? This? Okay.
I mean, it wasn't a big mess. But I think, like, we don't have to say it now, but, like, if we're talking which episode, I mean, should we say which episode we prefer?
Oh, no, you know what? I was thinking that maybe that we can kind of brainstorm, like, a segment if we are doing 2 episodes a week, then maybe we can make it like a thing, like an all-out battle, like which episode is the
fun.
Best.
Okay, I like that idea.
Like head-to-head competition. So I don't know if we want to make it like a thing, like do you say at the end, do you like do it in the beginning? I'm not quite sure. I think that's going to become pretty obvious when like
while we're discussing it,
but yeah. Maybe that's something that we could workshop.
I think like we might as well say it at the top because I agree with you. Like when we get into talking about them, I think it's going to come out anyway. For me personally, I think that Fear Strikes Out, episode 9, is more iconic. It's more memorable. I remembered both of these episodes, but I think that season 2, episode 9, is one that I was like, oh, I definitely remembered the 7 minutes in heaven situation.
Yeah, I'm gonna, you know, take the opposing. Like, okay. I kind of feel like I enjoyed Band on the Run better. Like, I thought that it was funny. Like, it made me laugh. I think that there was, like, some pretty good Corey and Topanga moments in it. I think that we already had our time with the makeout party. And, like, I mean, what am I supposed to be like? We already talked about, like, hey, Jess, did you ever go to a makeout party? Yeah. Like, we know we're both losers and didn't go to any makeout parties.
Well, I think so, the thing is, like, I agree. Like, here's the thing. This week, it's not like we have, like, that, like, Teen Wolf awful episode of the week, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think both of these episodes are pretty good. They're not, like, the most iconic episodes ever, but they both, for me, I thought were both pretty good. And so it's not, for me, it's, like, a matter of inches between the two and, like, which one I would prefer to watch again, I guess.
Yeah.
But no, I agree. I think I
would do stay with Band on the Run. I mean, like, the biggest thing with Fear Strikes Out is that Corey's making a big fucking deal about kissing Topanga, but he's already kissed her like 4 times.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like be like, why is this such a big deal to you now, especially when it's Topanga? Like, if he got, like, matched up with, like, Wendy or Melissa or any of the other girls, mm-hmm. then I would understand why he would be nervous. But he's already kissed Topanga, so I don't get it. So let's go into Band on the Run. Yeah. This was aired on November 11th, 1994, because I still like to try to make air dates a thing, but it never sticks.
Well, it's like every few episodes we talk about the air date.
I'm like, I get it in, as one has to do sometimes.
Yes, and we're back at Chubby's.
Chubby's. Like definitely our safe place now. Mm-hmm. Like instead of like us chilling out in Corey's backyard or, you know, at, you know, whatever, we're now living at the Chubby's.
Yeah, we definitely have more, you could tell the budget is higher because we're in more locations than we used to be, which is nice. And basically we have here Corey asking girls to dances, but like they keep using grandmothers as like excuses why they don't want to go with him.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad to watch. And Adam Scott makes a cameo in this episode, which you mentioned that, like, he does come back as, like, a bully later.
As, like, somebody totally different, not even meant to be the same person.
Yeah,
like,
he's very briefly in this scene where he just drops off, like, the guitar cases. Or maybe they have guitars in them, I guess.
Yeah, now, like, this is, like, in the credits, he's credited as, like, guitar carrier. And later on in this season, he comes back as a alternate bully from Harley named Griff, who is actually on pretty good terms with Corey. Like, he doesn't get on Corey's case like Harley does. But I did not recognize Adam Scott initially in this episode because he has, like, the long hair.
It's, like long, straight hair, like, kind of like Sean's, but, like, even longer.
Longer, much longer. I didn't recognize him. You pointed it out, and I had to go back, and I was like, oh, I mean, like, yeah, that's him, and he's in the credits. So, very interesting, Adam Scott, a young Adam Scott.
Yeah, and he basically, like, drops off these instruments to Corey and Sean to, like, look after while they go to the bathroom. And instantly, these instruments caused girls to be like, they're girl magnets. Instantly, those two girls who rejected Corey are like, oh my gosh, you guys have a band? That's like so cool.
Yeah. My favorite line from this scene was Corey saying that he doesn't want to ask Topanga to the dance because it shows no personal growth. And I was like, good for you, Corey.
Okay,
like,
but how? No, go ahead.
How? I just think it's like, you know, like he realizes he can't put all of his eggs in the Topanga basket and it's okay to look around a little bit.
But the only question I had was he says the line of like, oh, I've asked Topanga to every dance since I was 5. And I'm just like, since when? Like, this is revisionist history. This is where it begins.
This is very revisionist history. Like, this is the thing. Like, there's a scene in the future where they're on the playground. And they're, like, on top of the jungle gym thing. And they're, like, we've been in love with each other since, like, 3 years old. And it's, like, no, you haven't.
Okay.
But this is where they rewrite history a little bit. Yes. And they're, like, you know, but whatever.
It's fine. Like, we can get over it. It's just, like, worth pointing out that that is untrue, even though Corey really wants it to be true.
Yeah. So the girls see, like, they're all over them. They, you know, they think that the girls are, like, whatever, dummies. But they think that, like, Adam Scott is their groupie. Yes. Oh, no, is their roadie. They want to be the groupies. Yes. I don't know. Like, groupies, roadies, like.
Yeah, roadies are the ones who, like, pack up the band instruments. And groupies are, like, the ones that follow the band from, like, town to town or whatever.
Right. So so the girls are, like, you know, all over this shit. Cut to Corey playing around with Alan's old guitar, and Alan comes. It's like, hey, look, you're playing with my old guitar. I used to be in a band.
Yeah. I loved how into this Alan was. And he's like, oh, we did things about protests in Vietnam. And then Amy comes in and, like, a fucking boss. She's just like, cuts him down like, bitch, no, you did this for the chicks. Like, we all know you did it so that you could get girls. And yeah, like you said, his band was called The Tongues.
The Tongues.
Which is, like, a bad name, but also, like, not an awful name. Like, I feel like it's at least memorable.
I guess so. I prefer, honestly, I prefer the exits.
I don't mind the exits. I think they're both decent.
I thought that was a good
yeah.
one.
But yeah, so Amy basically contradicts Alan. Is like, 100% you did this to get girls. Like, you better stop. And he, like, Alan is, like, too excited about this guitar. Like, all he wants is to, like, relive his glory days in a band.
Oh, yeah. He wants to get back with his buddies, hang out in the garage, wear his fringe jacket, and, like, reminisce about the past.
Yes.
He's ready. He's ready to go down memory lane and just, like, jam with his buddies.
Yeah, with the tongues. And now Corey and John are, like, in a real big pickle because all these girls want to hear the band play. But obviously, yeah. Corey and John don't know how to play any instruments.
No.
So they keep
relatable.
Yes. Yeah. And they keep making up these lies, like, oh, their drummer died.
Their drummer died. Yeah. And then there's, like, other band members. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, there's a guitarist that plays with his teeth, but he's busy at the dentist.
Yeah, this, like, is all Sean's fault, because Sean just shit. Like, basically makes it 10 times worse in, like, the span of, like, a 30-second conversation that Corey has with Topanga. Sean has made up, like, an extra 5 lies. And I thought this was so cute, the conversation between Corey and Topanga here, where Topanga's like, oh, listen, like, Jeremy asked me to the dance, but I wanted to see, like, what you were doing first, like, what your plans were. And I was like, good. I mean, not that she needs, like, she's not asking for his permission, but she's just like, oh, just like, it's a courtesy.
I want to check in with you.
Like, what are you up to? Like, am I cool? Like, I don't want to, like, if you want to go together, we can go. But Jeremy asked me.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, I felt like the acting and the writing and just everybody's portrayals in this episode felt a smidge more grown up than they have been. It felt like the Boy Meets World that I love and remember, just like, you know, how Corey portrayed some of the lines, and like Topanga, like I felt like this was very it felt like a proper episode of Boy Meets World.
I agree. I think we've definitely sensed a shift in tone in season 2. Like, we're getting more into, like, the teen drama versus the more kid based show that we had in season 1, right? We're getting into relationship stuff and what happens when you have your first kiss and go to a makeout party and all of those things. And I do think, like, I'm really appreciating, and but the humor is still there. We still
it's
get
so funny.
Yeah, we still get the so funny moments.
Like, I love Corey, like, being like, oh, I just have, like, an egg salad sandwich in my guitar case. Which, by the way, when he shook his guitar and case, stuff a literal out. Piece a food came out
disgusting.
Of it.
Like, first of all, a hot mess. Egg salad sandwich sounds fucking disgusting.
Ew.
Put that shit in a refrigerator.
Ew.
Right?
So, that's so gross. So, Corey and Sean need guys.
Yeah, they hold auditions.
Yeah, they hold auditions at their house. Please wipe your feet. So, a bunch of people come.
Who was your favorite of the group that we saw?
My favorite out of the group. Probably, I mean, like, that drummer, I don't know why Corey didn't like the drummer. He just was pretty talented. Everywhere. I was really into his work.
I liked him, too. I really loved the accordion guy. I thought he was funny.
Yes.
And I loved the monks. Like, where did they find out about this band audition? Like, where did they
post? Where would you possibly advertise? I guess they went to, like, the Penny Saver and were, like, putting their ad
because I guess you can't.
There's no Craigslist.
Well, that, and you can't really advertise at the school because then the girls will find out that you don't already have a band. Or I guess maybe you could say you're replacing a member. That's where you'd think that they would, you know, have a
come clean
flyer or something like that.
Yeah. I think that they, like, took out an ad in, like, the local paper, but then they, I mean, it came out in, like, a day. Like, they were, you know.
Yeah, they were
a band on the run.
Yes. So Alan ends up buying a whole bunch of crap at a yard sale, like an amp and like all these, like, a microphone and all these other supplies. Yeah. And Amy seems, like, less than pleased, but also she's just like, listen, whatever makes you happy, I guess.
Dude, absolutely. As soon as Drew brings home anything large into our home, I get automatically peeved. One day, Drew brought home a 4-foot-tall Pickle Rick stuffed animal, and I got
upset. A 4-foot-tall?
4-foot-tall
Who the fuck needs a 4-foot-tall Pickle Rick?
he said it was on sale, and I was irate. I don't like it.
It's a stuffed animal?
Yeah, but it's like a, you know, it's like one of those carnival stuffed animals, so it's like filled with like beans and bullshit.
What did you do with it?
I mean, I tried to throw it out in our move, but it moved with us.
So I just don't know what you would do with a 4-foot stuffed animal.
You do nothing with it. You do nothing with it. The only thing that good, the only good that came from Pickle Rick in our home is that once Drew fell down the stairs and he hurt his foot, like he didn't break it or fracture it, but he like sprained it. So we used it as a foot prop. That's the only thing, that's the only good that's come.
I feel like I would use that as like an opportunity, like, oh, you bought this completely unnecessary, however expensive item. Now I get to buy something that is also unnecessary that you hate that I like because now we're equal.
Yes. Well, now it lives in the man cave, and I only have to see it when I do laundry.
Yeah, well, that's not too bad, I guess. But yeah, like, I would feel the same way as Amy, like, since when are you buying, I guess, like, whatever makes you happy, but also, like, is this going in the garage or something? Because, like, that was a huge amp he bought.
That was a big amp, yeah. I just don't think, I also like how the fringe jacket had like names of like past girls in it.
And Eric is reading all of them. And he's like, oh, those are cities that we like, okay, Alan, Eric's not buying that, please.
Yeah, sure, Jan.
Yeah.
So the girls come across Corey, who's sitting there, and he says that he's listening to the music within his head.
That was so funny. The line of Mr. Turner saying, like, oh, I'm sorry, is the music too loud in your head or something like that? You might want to turn the music down. I'm sorry, but Mr. Turner is quickly becoming, like, one of my favorite characters.
Oh, absolutely. What's not to love about him?
Like, I just think, I mean, we kind of mentioned this in the past, like, I think it's great to have someone other than, you know, Amy and Alan as the parents, other than Eric as an older brother, other than Feeny as like a senior advisor, mentor, principal, teacher, whatever, someone who is like younger but not their age that can like mentor them in other ways. And I think Mr. Turner is a fun foil to Feeny, and we'll get into it in the next episode. I just love his presence on the show.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. I think that he's a great character. He was a great addition. I like him a lot. I especially, I think his name, is it Eli? The teacher that comes next season that's like a buddy to Turner?
Oh, it might be Eli. I know who you're talking about, but I don't know his name.
He's phenomenal too.
Yeah. So, no, I'm excited for that too. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to both of them together.
Yeah. And so now so then Corey and Sean did end up getting two guys for the band, but they also don't know how to play their instruments. And that was like their thing. They are never going to play their instruments.
Yeah. Big rule. Never play the instruments.
Yes.
Which actually is pretty smart. I think that is a smooth way. But the thing is, if you're not going to play instruments, then you should not be agreeing to playing gigs.
Yeah, and they end up agreeing to the Demon Seeds, which is a far worse name than the Tongues or the Exits, in my opinion.
Whose band is that? Do you think that's Jason's band?
Oh god.
Do you think it's Desiree's band?
Oh, I could see her being like the lead singer for the Demon Seeds. 100%. She'd have great hair for headbanging. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so they cancel. So Feeny's like, oh, sorry, guys. He literally, like, announces it by using Sharpie to, like, cross them off of a poster, which, like, Feeny, what are you doing? That's what the, like, microphone announcement things are for. And so
it's a cassette tape, though.
Yeah, JoJo Man and Brother B on cassette. So, of course, immediately the girls volunteer Corey and Sean's band. And Corey has no choice but to make up the name The Exits on the...
Which is a good name.
Yeah, it is a good name. Yeah. Especially on the fly.
He was looking at, like, different signs and ultimately landed on The Exits. It was very good. I like how Sean comes up to Corey and Corey is like, oh, The Exits. They hire The Exits. And Sean's like, oh, like, they're great. And he's like, What do you say? Like,
oh, we're the exits.
We're the exits. And he's like, oh, they're not so good.
Yeah, they're not as good. Yeah.
They're not good.
Yeah. Is it out of the realm of, like, fake names? Isn't it in Sex and the City when someone makes up the name, like, George Glass? Is that Charlotte?
Bitch, that's the Brady Bunch.
You're so right. It is the Brady Bunch. George Glass. It's Jan's boyfriend, right?
Yo.
Yes, that's pretty much. What is it? Doesn't Charlotte make up a name in Sex and the City? Anyway, the point is, I was curious what you thought. Like, is George Glass better than, like, the exits in terms of, like, a on-the-fly name that you have to come up with?
The exits is better.
I do think so, too. But it's easier to come up with a band name, I think, than a human's name. I don't know.
I mean, there's billions of names. I don't know why she chose
George. I think she was looking at a glass when she said it.
Yeah, no, that's what she was doing. She was looking at a glass.
But, yeah, so now the boys are screwed because they are in a band and no one knows how to play an instrument. Maybe they should have at least gotten, like, one member who knows how to play. And so they're, like, really screwed because immediately the two guys ditch them. They're like, nope, not doing this. We're outskies.
Yeah. I mean, the one guy was a poser, but literally a poser.
Yes.
And the Thor, other right? guy. I think his name was? Yeah. Thor was a poser.
Poser.
And then the other guy, no name, all he did was, like, whip his hair back and forth and, like, stick his tongue out. Yeah, pretty much.
Yes. And yeah, so now
they bounce. They're like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, now they're really freaking screwed. And so now we're back at, like, the Matthews residence, and Alan has all his, like, Tongues fellow members over.
Yeah.
And
dude, one of these guys is Mickey Dolenz, who is a Monkees member.
Yeah, the guy that was really good, that, like...
Yeah, Norm.
Yeah, with the long hair.
And he comes back later. I remember him later on in other episodes.
He cracked me up the most because he was talking about how he puts fat-free stickers on brownies for his wife. And I thought that... I mean, it's kind of mean, but it's also, like, very funny. And I loved this whole scene because they're all just talking about, like, how old they are and, like, no one wants any beers. Yeah. Someone wants, like, juice.
Yeah, they're like old duddies now. I mean, this is the equivalent to me bitching to Drew how I steam mopped for too long and got a blister on my thumb. Like, this is what happens when you become an old fuddy-duddy.
Yeah, you get excited about making purchases, like a steam mop or, like, a mixer or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, Amy offers them, like, beverages, and Alan's like, you know, oh, they my bros want brewskis. But then it's like, then they all ask for something different. Mineral water, diet iced tea. And this motherfucker is like, make me a carrot juice.
Who the
like
fuck? First of all, who has a juicer? Second of all, who just has carrots ready to be juiced in their house?
That's a big ask, man. Like, that's a big ask. He's like, is it too much of an inconvenience to make me fresh squeezed carrot juice? The answer is yes, it is.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like,
do you think that Alan and Amy have the money for a juicer? Excuse me. Yeah. They have to fix their own sink. Get a life, dude. Ridiculous. Yeah,
it was a bit ridiculous of an ask. Ridiculous. Like, just ask for water. Order the beer is fine. I mean, maybe they're not drinkers, but... Then they all are like, oh.
The iced tea, what, everyone gets iced tea.
Iced tea's fine. Iced tea is
Why
fine.
Do you need a mineral water, dude? Tap is fine.
Yeah, get over yourself. And so then they're like, oh, well, so then Sean and Corey leave, and Alan knows what's up. Alan is like, you've had a band for 2 days. There's no way you know any songs at this point. And they all, that's when all the guys start to, like, you know, they all go get their guitars and they're all like, okay, well, let's, like, we should play together. And turns out it's Alan who can't keep up with the rest of them. Cause like you said, that one guy was like freaking so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that was embarrassing for Alan. He realized, like, you know, when they were performing, I didn't think it was that bad. But on my second watch, I realized that he was, like, a little bit slower.
He was behind. On the words, yeah.
A little bit, but not significantly, but enough for him to make him feel like shit about himself and then kick out all of his friends.
Alan handles like, this very poorly.
He's like, let's do this next week. And he's like, let's not.
Yeah, see you later. And he's like, he's obviously upset. He like, he talks to Amy and he's like, oh, I was so much better when I was younger. And she's like, I have something to tell you. Like, you were never very good. And he's like, oh, you said my music is what attracted you to me. And she's like, yeah, I lied.
I lied, but it was really the whole package. Like, you look so cute and you had your little guitar and you had like your little fringe jacket. Yeah. Like, it was the whole package.
It was very cute. And I loved I love how this ends up mirroring and kind of paralleling with like Corey's storyline.
Their sex life is something that I aspire to have. And like, at what point, like, obviously when you're in a long-term relationship, the sex comes and goes. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. We all know that. But it's like, what do they do to like kick it back into gear? I would like to know. Inquiring minds would like to know. Yeah. Just saying. Just saying.
So now we're at the dance, and Corey has like hired a couple of guys to like play for them, but then they find out that this gig doesn't pay, and they have a paying gig at Rodney's Oyster House, so that's where they're going.
Yep.
And then Turner pulls like a kind of shitty move on him, but it was very funny, where they're like, we can't go on, you know, we wanted certain type of meats that we don't have.
They had a very strict writer.
Yes. Just like our friend Chappelle. And they did not get what they wanted, so they weren't going to perform. And Turner's like, okay, great. Yeah, no worries. And then he ends up announcing them anyway. Did you notice when Corey and Sean went up on stage, one of the guys that was right in the front row was originally in the band? And I'm like, dude, like, you know what you're in for. Why are you cheering so loudly?
Because he knows how big this is going to blow, and he's just happy he's not up there. He's like, look at these losers. They're going to have, like, a terrible time. This is going to be a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I noticed that, too.
Yeah. And so, like...
But Topanga was right there.
Topanga was right there. And Corey does the whole, like, are you ready to rock? Are you ready to roll? Are you ready to rock and roll? Like, getting them all hyped.
Yeah, they did a great job hyping the audience.
Yeah, except they were hyped for trash. And then they're like, okay, bye. Sonia, banana, fana, fofonia.
Yeah. The girls did not like the name game. So at first, they were refusing to sing. And then eventually, they're like, we gotta do something. Yeah. And then they did the name game. After everybody in the school left, they're like, you know, being sad about their big flop. And like, Feeny comes up to them and they think that they're going to teach them a lesson, but Feeny just laughs at them.
Yeah, that was a very funny moment, I thought, because like, instead, we don't necessarily need Feeny. We don't need Feeny teaching the lesson. They know the lesson. They like, we have Corey literally saying what the lesson is. And then we have Turner who comes up and is like, if you don't show up to class on Monday, like, I totally get it.
Yeah, he's like, I feel for you guys. Mm-hmm. And then Miss Topanga, Miss Perfect Topanga in all of her glory comes up to her, and like, she was like hung back even though her date went to the Oyster House. And Topanga says, like, I enjoyed watching you. I didn't think it was that bad. And he's like, I sucked. Like, what do you mean? And she was like, well, I like the whole package.
And so parallel story to Amy and Alan. And so then Corey's like, oh, well, do you want to dance? And they put on Feeny's cassette tape. And it's like Rastafarian music and Feeny Bobini. And I love the way this ended, because you'd think, like, in a modern show, maybe they would have made this like a super romantic moment or something, and maybe they'd kiss. Yeah. But I thought it was such a funny ending, having it be like this like Feeny song that is just so silly, and they're just like laughing together, because that is
that was so cute.
That was like their stuff. Like, they laugh together. They love being together. Yeah. It's not about like the chase, you know?
I know. And I can like totally see that, like, with like my significant other, like, putting on a tape and like hearing like this like silly music and Feeny and be like, oh my god, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Like this is, and like the fact that he was like, this totally happened at like the Sandals Resort in like Jamaica.
Yes.
And like, it was like last spring break, and Feeny got this little cassette tape.
Yeah.
I loved that moment.
Yeah, there's
too.
More
I
thought to Feeny than you'd think.
Oh, Feeny's
Yeah, Feeny's a partier.
A mysterious man. Yes. Yeah.
And then we get the after credit scene, which was kind of silly, where Alan's like trying to pawn his guitar off on Corey.
We need to find another word for after credits because they're technically not after the credits.
Last scene? I don't know. It's
we're gonna have to figure out a good word for that because, truthfully, I saw on somebody else's reviews that it's a long story, but somebody bashed another podcaster for using the word after credits when it's technically not after credits.
Get over it, people. I don't know what it would be called. It's just kind of like the ending scene.
Pre-credits?
I guess.
Ending scene. Let's call it
It's the ending scene. And Alan is trying to give Corey his guitar, but of course, like, they're playing this, like, hot potato game where neither one of them want it. Eric walks in, and of course, they're like, he's, like, amazing at this guitar, but, like, doesn't really want it. And I'm just thinking, like, if he was this good at guitar, he would have already been using it to pick up chicks.
That's the easiest thing in the books to pretend, like, to play. Well, I mean, we obviously saw here, but yeah. He would have used, Eric uses anything.
Exactly.
And everything.
Any excuse he can use, he will use it to get a girl. But yeah, that I thought it was cute. I think overall, like, I really liked this episode. Like I said, like, maybe I would pick the next one over this one just because I think it's, like, a more – this one I think is funnier, but the next one I think is more iconic in terms of, like, moving the plot forward and kind of moving the story forward. Right. But this one was still so good. It was so funny.
Yeah, and the fashion, we'll get to it later. So many good outfits in this episode.
It incredible. Really wasn't, an embarrassment – what is it? Embarrassment of riches?
Of riches, yeah, exactly.
So many good options. I was so jealous. I'm like, oh my gosh, you got so many good options to choose from.
Boop, boop, boop. Yep, I did.
But yeah, so going into our next episode, season 2, episode 9, Fear Strikes Out. We're talking 7 minutes in heaven.
Yeah. November 18th, 1994. Thought you would want to know.
I was wondering. Oh, I wonder when this aired.
you're like,
I can't count 7 days from the last air date.
One of these people were born on November 18th, 1994, and they're happy that we just said their birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to whomever you are. On that date. Anyway. So we're in the cafeteria and Corey and Sean are talking about 7 minutes in heaven and Corey is doing lip ups to prepare himself.
Yep. They are both prepping for this big makeout party. Sean is talking strategy in the closet. You know, you have 7 minutes. You got to best utilize your time. Corey's doing his lip ups. Eric is like really being a jerk.
He is the worst in this episode.
Eric, he's really, really, like, psyching Corey out, like, about kissing, about making out, about being in the closet.
I feel like we're in, like, season one Eric territory again. Like, I feel like we've regressed because he's, like, such a fucking jerk in this episode.
Well, that's the thing with older siblings, because one day you can be cool, and the next minute, like, the older sibling just wants to nag and rag on you. So I think it's believable.
No, I'm not saying it's not. It's definitely believable. It's just more like, I don't know. Like, I feel like we got on Eric's case a lot in season one for this, and it's kind of like, I mean, I get why he does it. Well, I don't really get why he does. It's just kind of mean.
It's because Corey's annoying.
But he wasn't even doing anything. He literally was having a conversation with his friend.
He exists. That's the point. As an older sibling, if your younger sibling is alive, that's the problem.
They're annoying because they exist. Yeah.
Because they exist.
But yeah, so like Eric's being a real dick. And now we get to get into conversation about Mr. Turner and the new teacher.
Yes, Miss Tompkins.
Yeah, Miss Tompkins. And so Turner sees an attractive woman walk into the cafeteria and he's like, he like immediately acts like a schoolboy with Feeny and he's like, who's that?
She's the new teacher in the social studies department. He asks Feeny if he did the hiring and it's like, no duh, Feeny did the hiring. Feeny only, Feeny only hires hot women. It's a fact.
Yes. And I love how he gives Feeny like an attaboy for hiring her. And I just think it's like so funny because he like acts like such a kid. And then he's like, Feeny's like, oh, I frown upon, you know, fraternizing between teachers. And he's like, oh, good. So it's not a policy. It's a facial expression.
Yeah. Yeah. Feeny was definitely like really hoping that Miss Tompkins would like Mr. Feeny. He was very disappointed at the fact that, like, you know, that Mr. Turner was interested in her, because you totally know that he wants to go after Miss Tompkins.
Absolutely. And he's also, like, first of all, he acts like he is all against it and everything. But then later, fucking Gossip Queen Fiend.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just all this up in his business.
Yeah, that later on scene was the most, like, Gossip Queen Fiend that we've ever seen.
At least outright, right? We've always known it. We've been new. Yes. And yet, now is just the time that is being revealed.
Caught in the act. Yes. Hi, Gossip. Needs to know all the info.
Yes.
Hilarious.
Yeah. And then we get more of Eric and Corey, and Eric basically being like, oh, it's too late for you to learn how to make out, and you ate the beanie weenie casserole, so.
I don't get this. I don't know why we're getting into beanie weenie. I don't even know what that means. Beanie weenie casserole.
I don't know what beanie weenie is.
He's talking to him about gas. I don't know what happened. I don't know how we got here at this part of the scene.
I don't know either.
I think we had a moment and we were like, this would be funny, but this was not funny, and it was very confusing.
Yeah, and it's like, it's annoying because instead of trying to help Corey, which I understand he's an older sibling, but instead of trying to like help Corey at all, he makes it 20 times worse for poor Corey. And we get to the point.
Why does he want to help? What's in it for Eric?
I'm saying he doesn't have to help Corey, but he's making it worse. He's, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to actively make it worse.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, we get to the party, and Corey's, like, super nervous. I love the line of, what if I sneeze in her mouth and pop along?
Yeah, I think Corey is just freaked out at all of what could go wrong.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, because he got psyched out. Like, you know, if there's braces, that could be a problem. If there's gas or bad breath, that could be a problem. Yeah. Like, there's so many things that could go wrong. Topanga's there, which is, like, cool. And then, like, this is when the coupling up happens.
Right.
So, apparently what happens at this party is there's a boy bag and a girl bag. You pick one name out of the bag that's a boy, one that's a girl, and then these two people go in the closet.
Right. And they have 7 minutes in there to make out. And Sean and Melanie get picked. And when Sean comes out, he, like, somehow has changed shirts. He's very, like, giggly. He wanted to spend more time in there. I mean, we already knew that, like, Sean was kind of, like, a ladies' man, and really, like, following in, like, Eric's footsteps. Whereas Corey is the more anxious one. He is also not, like, he hasn't matured in that way as quickly as Sean. He was always a little bit behind in terms of, like, liking girls and being interested in, you know, being attracted to anybody and on and on. And so, obviously, it's tough for Corey because he doesn't have anybody who's feeling the same way he is, at least not that he knows about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I like Sean's quote, Corey, the closet is your friend.
Yes. And, of course, immediately after that, Corey and Topanga get picked to go in.
I think this is rigged. I think that these are pre-chosen couples.
Interesting.
I think that this whole thing is rigged. And I think it's just very convenient that Corey gets called with Topanga.
I bet the other girls were like, he doesn't look like a good kisser. Make sure you pick, like, someone other than me. You know what I mean? Like, a couple of the girls got in there.
Yeah. Totally rigged. So, they're in the closet. It's very dark. Topanga turns on the light, and then it's very bright.
Yeah, it's too bright to make out now. And Topanga's basically like, we don't have to do anything that you, like, don't want to do.
Oh, we love a consensual queen.
Yes. I love everything about Topanga in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, I felt bad for her because then Corey says, like, oh, I'm just trying to survive this, which doesn't really – it makes Topanga feel bad because it makes it seem like it's her when it's not. And then she tells him that girls talk, which makes him even more panicked.
Girls do talk, to be honest with you. Yeah. They talk.
Of course they do. I mean, guys talk too. Like, everybody talks, right? Like, it's going to get around. And Topanga is like, here's the thing. I found it a little strange that because we just had the episode not long ago where everybody thinks that Corey and Topanga had sex because they were overnight in the video room or whatever, right? And then Topanga here offers to tell people that they made out, which I thought was kind of strange because, like, she was so – I mean, and obviously making out and having sex are, like, very different, you know, very different ends of the spectrum. However, like, I feel like season one Topanga would have been more like, we shouldn't lie. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You know what I mean? Like, right, I felt like it's –
I think that too.
It's a big shift to have her suddenly offer to lie.
Yeah. I also think that there's a big shift in Topanga because she's hanging out with all of these, like, mystery girls, and she's kind of, like, the head of the Queen girls in a way. Like, the girls are following her, which is very interesting. Who are these girls? Like, which is so funny because in the first episode that we watched with, like, Sonia and the other girl, Topanga was like, who are you? And it's like...
Yes.
That was such a funny line. And it's like, to me, to these girls, like, who are you? Like, who are you? Like, I've never seen these girls before. And they're apparently, like, her new BFFs. So I think that Topanga got a new crop of friends. She's not pulling a Jen Lindy. She, like, or whatever Jen's last name is. And she's like, hey, guys, like, I have a new group of people. And they're, like, making me... less hippie-ish.
Yeah, she's definitely become more, like, average teen girl at this point. But still the same, like, nice, has morals Topanga. But, like, she's willing to lie for Corey. She calls Corey a nice guy. And obviously, like, Corey doesn't want to be known as nice. Right. And then Topanga offers up, like, oh, well, we need to get to be good at something. You have to practice. Why don't we practice? And, of course, just as they go to kiss, the door opens up. Yeah, it's like it. Yeah. Corey never ends up making out with anybody and everybody knows it. Like, it's immediately like everybody knows it and it's all over the school. And you have Topanga saying, just because he doesn't kiss me doesn't mean he's a creep. He's a really nice boy, which is the worst thing. It's the last thing Corey wants to hear.
You don't want to be called a really nice boy. Yeah. That's not good. Corey already had a bad night because, like, you know, his mom wanted to know about the party. His dad wanted to know about the party. Yes. And ultimately, he tells Eric that there's nothing to tell about the party. And Eric's already making fun of him. So to go to school the next day and the whole entire school is laughing at him.
Yeah.
And calling him lipless.
Oh, like, yeah. Harley says, I cried because I had no shoes until I met a guy who had no lips.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate. Yeah. It seems like everybody knows, even Mr. Turner knows, like, and it is awful. Like, he's known as the guy who's, like, too afraid to kiss somebody. And you feel for Corey here because, like, he feels like he's behind everybody else.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. But also, you know, if it's like, there's no shame to not have your first kiss in seventh grade. Like, I don't think that I had my first real kiss until I was in 10th grade. But, like, the fact that the entire school is talking about it, that's what's, like, the sucky thing.
Yeah,
about
it's way worse as a result of that. And then we have the scene where Feeny's having lunch with Miss Tompkins. Of course, she asks Feeny for the deets on Mr. Turner. And Feeny's, like, lying to keep them apart, but it, like, ultimately, like, very much backfires on him. Because she's even more interested in him.
Yeah, would you say you're the safe and sane type or a dangerous rebel loner?
Yeah, I thought that was very funny. But I think nowadays, like, I don't know, is anybody looking for a dangerous rebel loner? Like, that's certainly not my thing.
Yeah, the loner is not very appealing. The dangerous is not very appealing.
No, give me a boring, safe guy who wants to, like, sit on the couch and watch TV.
Yeah, but Mrs. Tompkins is, like, in her 20s, so she's still in, like, I need to date a bunch of fuckboys.
Yeah, she's like, he has a Harley? Count me in, bitch.
Yeah.
You got a second helmet for that? Oh, what?
Yep, I'm sure he does in the Sea of the Harley.
Yes. So yeah, she's all excited, and Feeny's like, oh shit, like he knew he fucked up, and of course he missed his shot with Miss Tompkins. Thirsty Feeny. Thirsty Feeny. Yeah, and Corey's upset. He goes home and he's basically telling his parents, like, I'm never going back to school. They're preoccupied with Morgan and the fact that her paste cup got stolen.
Yeah.
It's not the first time she's had any storyline, like, at all.
Yeah. Morgan, the last episode I read was the first episode that she wasn't in.
Yeah. And this, like, even in this episode, she has, like, one line. I feel like they used her so much more in season one. I'm not hating the lack of Morgan. It's fine.
I
thought that this was, like, a really good way to use her, right? Like, put her in a silly scene. She's talking about a paste cup. We don't need, like, a ton from her. I thought this was a good spot for her.
Give her a little bit more, I think.
Maybe a little bit more. But Corey's upset, and he says, I'm a gooba, and it's so bad I had to invent a word for it.
Yeah. I mean, it is tough to be a booba.
A gooba.
A gooba. Yeah, I wrote A-B-O-O-G-W-A-H.
Yeah.
I set myself up for failure.
And of course, in the retelling of the story, Amy and Alan both noticed that Eric's name's coming up a whole lot. So I love this part of the episode where Eric comes in and and Alan's like, oh, don't worry, Eric, you're not in trouble. Just tell me what you said to him. Perfect setup. What an easy trap to fall into, Eric. You're an idiot.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So he admits that he was just messing with Corey just for some fun. And they were like, yeah, you want to have some fun? Now you won't be able to go on any dates until, like, Corey's ready to go out again.
Yeah.
How about that?
And Eric's like, oh, I thought you said I wasn't in trouble. And then Alan, I was just messing with your head.
Yeah.
I loved that.
So Eric convinces Corey to get back out there and go on a no-pressure date. Mm-hmm. So he brings Corey and Topanga and a girl to the poetry club.
Yes. I loved this scene, and whole scene, the whole thing with the, and especially the end scene, and this at the poetry reading, mm-hmm. That's why it's so memorable to me, because I remember these scenes being, like, a big thing, where we get Frankie reading a poem, and he's like, oh, I don't do it for the fame, which I loved, and then we have, like, this really cute conversation between Corey and Topanga, and they both kind of admit, like, listen, like, I was nervous too. Like, Topanga admits, like, I was nervous. Like, girls don't know what they're doing either. I feel like she could have said that in the moment, and, like, that maybe would have calmed Corey down a bit.
I think so.
Yeah.
That could have, like, put them back on, like, a more even playing ground.
Yeah, because she says, like, oh, well, you know, girls talk. Well, that's only going to make things worse. Like, I feel like in the moment, if she's like, listen, it's fine, I'm nervous too, like, don't worry about it, maybe that would have helped it a bit more. But at least she says it here.
I think so. Yeah. My biggest issue with this scene is that Corey asks her if she wants a cappuccino, and then instead of paying for the cappuccino, he goes and tries to find seats, which he didn't even do. Then she pays for two cappuccinos and then finds the seats for them. It's like, Corey, like, you're not doing anything here.
My issue is, in seventh grade, why are they drinking cappuccinos?
I don't know.
It was too much.
It's like, why is Topanga buying the coffee here?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's fair. And then the sexy poem starts, and people are making out everywhere.
Nibbles.
And it's nibble, nibble, nibble. It was so comfortable for me to watch the nibble.
Oh, yeah. We got some dim lights, everyone's making out. This was very intentional by Eric to bring him here, right?
I think – here's the thing. Okay. Here's the thing. If you don't have this guy reading this poem, is it really that, like, sexually charged? If you
– I think there's a bunch of guys like this dude reading sexy poems.
I mean, obviously we see the same guy coming back in the end scene, right? But, like, I feel like if you just went to a normal poetry reading – realistically, they could be talking about anything, right? They could be talking about traumatic experiences. They could be talking, they could be doing, like, spoken word. It's, like, super intense, right? Like, you don't necessarily have sexy poems every time.
I don't know. Like, I think stereotypically, like, you have, like, the bongos and the lights going down, mm-hmm. and it's an intimate space. Like, I think that you do come here to make out.
I kind of see where you're going, and I don't disagree, because Eric, right, his whole thing was, I need to get Corey back out there because until he dates, I can't date. And so if this is what he should have done all along, really, because it put Corey at ease because he thought it was like a no pressure situation. And then that ended up relaxing him enough where like him and Topanga, you know, kissed. And so I think like, yeah, if we're thinking of Eric being like a little bit more manipulative, then he knows that this is going to lead to like kissing, right? Like he knows that this is going to be a romantic experience. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought this was funny. I loved this whole scene. And then the next scene is so funny, where we have Feeny and Turner eating lunch. And Feeny just wants like all the details. He says, give me the skinny.
Give me the skinny. He's like, I want during the date, like, and like, you know, Turner's playing it cool. And he's like, no, I'm not going to tell you. And then Miss Tompkins says, hey, guy. And he goes, hey, cat. And yeah. Then he's like, I like her.
Yeah, it's obvious they have another date because she says something about it. And mm-hmm. he's like, I like her. Yeah, he's so cute. Like, I thought this was cute. And adorable. Then, of course, in the end scene, we have Corey and Topanga, Eric and his date, Sean and his date, Turner and Miss Tompkins, Alan and Amy, and Feeny, and that older woman who we saw from a different episode are all together. Well, not all together, but they're all at the place, which I was kind of like, I don't know that I want to. First of all, I'm not someone who'd make out in public anyway, but I certainly wouldn't want to make out in the same, like, venue where my parents,
as like your parents
and my teachers, teacher,
your principal,
yes,
your brother, yeah, your best friend.
I think it's a bit much.
It's a little much. It's a little much. Too many people.
Yeah, but a lot of nibbling. Too many people that you and know. Yeah, a lot of nibbling. Not a nibbling. And I thought it was cute. I liked the end scene. I thought it was great. But yeah, I agree. Like, I think if you're looking for like a funny episode, you go for Band on the Run. And I think if you're looking for like best hits of like Corey and Topanga and like the building of their relationship, I think this is a more important episode for building that.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I was just in the mood for a good laugh today.
I think both are great.
And just wanted the whole moment of Corey and Sean like on the stage just like fucking up. Like, I thought that was hilarious.
That was very good. I thought that was funny too. I love Corey and Sean together. They're always funny.
I do too. So we have an email from our friend Cody Patterson.
Great.
So Band on the Run, he has a hashtag shit 90s fun fact for us, which we love. So thank you so much. Mr. Feeny said he was going to play the stylings of JoJo Man and Brother B. The singer JoJo came out with a song in March 2020 called Man. Unfortunately, there was no Brother B. Oh, I want to know where I can see JoJo Man and Brother B. And more importantly, I really, really want a vacation to any tropical location.
I'd like a vacation literally anywhere.
I want to go to Mexico really badly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Question, did you know anyone in a band when you were in high school? Also, since this took place before Facebook, how did Alan track down his old bandmates? The Penny Saver.
Yeah, I like to imagine he probably just had their phone numbers. I mean, back in the day, right? Like, everybody has their own landlines.
Probably.
Or, like, he works, if they're all local, he works at a grocery store. So maybe he just, like, I don't know,
sees them once in a while.
Yeah. So in regards to the band question, when I was in high school, actually the guy I dated was in a band.
You dated a guy in a band? What instrument?
He was like, well, it was more like a heavy metal thing, and he was like the lead singer guy.
Oh, whoa there, Misty.
Yes.
Did that attract you to him?
I don't think that was, I mean, I suppose it wasn't like the thing, it wasn't like the reason I was attracted to him, if that makes sense. Like, it wasn't like I went to like his show and I was like, oh my god, he's in a band. It was just like, that was just one of the things. I mean, I kind of like, I don't know, I guess people are attracted to artists in their own way, right? Like writers or musicians or creators in any regard. But no, I don't
know what I'm attracted to?
What?
I'm attracted to a man and a big, like, stump and somebody chopping wood. That's what I'm attracted to. I don't want to watch somebody play an instrument. I want to see somebody chop wood.
It reminds me of that, like, a gif of Captain America, like, ripping the log in half.
No, I want an axe. And I want, like, some sort of...
So a lumberjack.
Shirt. Yeah, I want a lumberjack.
Okay, that's what you're saying. So you're basically describing a lumberjack.
I think that that's what I want.
Okay, fair. I don't know. I think
that's the talent.
I guess. Like, I don't really know. It's hard for me to say. I don't think I'm, like, attracted to, like, oh, there's a guy doing XYZ. How attractive. Like, mm-hmm. for me, yeah. it's very personality-based. Like, 100% personality-based.
What about...
Or beards, actually. That's not a talent, though.
It could be a talent. Some men can't grow beards.
It's fair. I like a good beard. Yeah. I really love a beard.
Yeah. What about, like... The Harley, like, would you be interested in the Harley?
No, because I don't want my significant other to die.
Right, yeah, very dangerous.
Yeah, not for me. No, nothing about driving any type of vehicle does it for me. I guess, like, chopping mm-hmm. wood, but, like, so.
Yeah, chopping wood.
Like, that's fine.
It's the fact that they have the axe and can command the wood.
I think of, if we're going to, like, pick one thing, I think, like, the guitar, I think, is probably one of the more... Like, the instruments that, like, if someone knows how to play guitar.
Oh, if I have to choose somebody that plays an instrument. Okay.
It's a guitar, I think, right? Like, that's the one. Also, I know this has come up elsewhere, not on the podcast. Maybe it's come up on the podcast.
What? You're going to spill all your tea?
No, I'm just trying to remember where it's come up. It's definitely come up elsewhere, but I don't know if I've brought it up on the podcast. That, like, I am very attracted to, like, beatboxing.
I've never heard you say that before in my life.
Okay, so it doesn't come up here before. Yeah, something about beatboxing. I just find, like, fascinating. Also, magicians. Like, I really love people who could do magic.
This is not sexy, Jessica. Yes, it is. This is the opposite.
Sleight of hand. Sleight of hand is very attractive because you're like, how they do it? It's mystery.
I don't want mysteries.
A little bit of mystery is nice. I mean, you know what it is? Goodness. That's what it is. Because I'm usually attracted to guys that are really quiet because, hi, I'm not. And, like, opposites attract, right? So I've always been attracted to guys who have, like, been on the quieter side and you kind of, like, have to pull a little bit of their personality out of their shell, right? Something about, like, magicians are very, like, mysterious. And, like, how did they mm-hmm. do it? And beatboxing, I don't know why. It's just, like, what they do with their mouth, I guess. But... It makes
you
sense.
Know, that's, like, the opposite of what I find attractive, actually.
Well, I'm sorry.
I would not want to date anybody who beatboxed.
Why not? It's talent.
It's
Do you remember? Noise. Can I tell you where it started? Do you remember
where?
The guy that was on American Idol and he used to, like, sing and beat? It was very early on. Like, I didn't watch a lot of American Idol, so I know it was within the first couple of seasons. And he, like, sang and beatboxed, like, at the same time. And I was fascinated.
Okay. No, I don't remember.
Okay, you know what? If you're out there, this is going to be like the same thing with the freaking Kool-Aid jammer tops and the retainers. If you're out there and you're attracted to people who beatbox and or magicians.
No, hold on. I'm going to put up a poll.
Oh, good God. No, no one is going to answer yes to this.
No, it's going to be, what are you more attracted to? Like, a man chopping wood or a man beatboxing and pulling magic tricks?
I can already tell you're going to win this poll. Like, no.
Then let me win. Let me win, Jessica.
Okay,
let me have it.
You can have this one win, I guess.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyway, moving on.
One win, as if. Come on. thank you, Cody. Fear strikes out. Hashtag shit90s fun fact. According to WikiHow, which outlines the official rules for 7 minutes in heaven, you are allowed to do whatever you choose in 7 minutes.
I know there were fucking rules for this game.
which includes talk privately. Apparently, Topanga read the rules before going into the party because that's exactly what they did for the entire 7 minutes.
I mean, it should all be consensual anyway, right? So, like...
Jessica, if you were in a closet for 7 minutes, would you waste time talking? There's plenty of people that can have full sex in 7 minutes. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but...
Oh my God. As we all know, I was way too dorky to ever be invited to a party that had 7 minutes in heaven.
Yeah, we were invited to the nerd party.
All my friends were girls. Like, and we weren't attracted to one another, so.
No.
Yeah. Anyway.
But that hypothetically, you would want to spend your 7 minutes talking?
If I was in seventh grade and I didn't know the person that I was stuck in the closet with, yes.
Okay.
So.
Cody continues, also, a gubwa is in the Urban Dictionary.
Oh, my gosh.
And we got a spelling, A-G-U-B-U-A, a gubwa.
Oh, if it's wrong, then. That's okay. Yeah. I just spelt it phonetically.
Question. I got a question. Not me, Cody.
Okay.
Corey and Sean were invited to the party, and it looks like all the cool kids were there. Did Corey get invited because he now has street cred from Missy's party? I think that everybody, the entire seventh grade, was invited to this party because Alvin was there.
I agree.
And Alvin's one of the mini Minkuses, so I think that it was a free-for-all.
I think so, too. I think they needed a lot of options for 7 minutes.
Yeah. Say that there's, like, 200 kids in the class and, like, 70 kids show up to this party, then that means that's only 35 matches.
Right.
So
exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's 35 times 7? How long is this party?
I don't know. That's a lot.
Imagine being there the entire time and being called last. 245 minutes divided by 60. This is a 4-hour party.
That's actually pretty standard for a party.
Yeah, it's pretty standard. 4-hour party, 7 minutes, but you have to wait for 3 hours and 53 minutes for your name to be called. It's a long party of not being called.
Also, by then, you're probably, like, filled up on, like, snacks and stuff.
Yeah, but then you're like, okay, obviously I'm paired up with this kid. Let's save the last 14 minutes of the party and let's just go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Well, Jessica, let's move on to Fashion Hour. Ooh. Thank you, Cody, for
your
shit 90s fun facts. The Fashion Hour Awards. We have two awards. The first being the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit. As we mentioned before, we had a plethora of outfit options. So very lucky for these two episodes. Especially episode 8 was really good in the outfit department. So first up, we have Topanga in episode 7, wearing, this is when she comes up to Corey and Sean is like, you're in a band, like everyone's talking about it, and then she's like, who are you? So she is wearing this like short mini, like pleated mini skirt, a chambray jean button-up shirt, and the doily dress has been repurposed and made into a doily vest. She's wearing like a red undershirt. Her hair, it has a nice like bump it in it, and some like waves and like some sort of clip. So she's looking pretty cute. What do you think about this outfit?
I like this outfit. I think like there's a lot happening with it, right? Like, I think we'd see a little bit more of a simplified version nowadays. I don't know how I feel about the pattern on the skirt, to be honest. But
yeah, it's a very small floral pattern where you can't really decipher what's there.
I like the rest of it, though. Especially, I mean, everything about Topanga's hair is just, like, goals.
We love her hair.
I love her hair. I think she looks great, though, and I like how her style is evolving to, like, still having the doily, but just involved in a much more, a much smaller part of the outfit.
Yeah. Next up, we have one of the girls that is a groupie. Not Sonia, the other girl, who I don't think has a name. So, this is when she volunteered Corey and Sean in episode 7 to play at the 7th grade dance. This outfit is a stunner of sorts. So, she's wearing, like, a little hot pink schoolgirl skirt. So, it's, like, one of the, it's, like, tight and then it pleats out. She's wearing, like, this tied in the front shirt that has like neon color. It's black. It has like all these shapes. It's like neon colors. She's wearing a hot pink beanie. And then she's wearing some Doc Marten boots and some high white socks. And I mean, like, this is just like an outfit to remember.
Yeah, this is like, there's no missing this outfit. That skirt, I would have never been allowed to wear to school because it does not pass like the fingertip rule. But I love how this skirt matches the hat.
Perfectly.
Yeah. The shirt is like, kind of looks like little like hand-drawn bacterias almost.
Oh yeah, it kind of does, yeah.
But I love that it's like a very bold outfit. And I love a Doc Marten boot with like a skirt. I think it's a cute look. This hat reminds me of the bucket hat days. It's not a bucket hat, but it's like shades of a bucket hat. And I did have a hat just like this, like a navy winter hat that looked like this.
It's felt, I think.
Yeah, yep. I like it. It looks good.
Next up, we have Topanga, still in episode 8, wearing this is her school dance outfit. So she's wearing a black, I think, velvet skirt. And then she's wearing this overcoat that is, like, bedazzled and beaded. And it has, like, this, like, big lapel collar. It has, like, a triangle front. It's buttoned up. She's wearing a white shirt. And, like, her hair is, like, you know, kind of like it was before. It's big. It has, like, a bump it. It's curled at the ends. It's, like, half up, half down. Shoulder pads for days. What do you think about this outfit?
This jacket reminds me of, like, a circus conductor jacket, but just in, like, a navy color.
Oh, yeah.
Not in a bad way, but just, like, you know, in a way. I like this being like a school dance outfit because it's not just your typical like mini dress, right? Like I like that there's a jacket component. I think this skirt actually is really, really like a good piece to have in your collection because it's just like a black pleated mini skirt. So you could pair that with almost anything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't mind this as much as I thought I might because like I'm usually not into the big shoulder pad thing, but I think that it's actually a really like cohesive outfit. And is she wearing combat boots with it? I'm trying to see. Like it's hard to tell. In the photo.
It's honestly hard to tell, but I think that she is wearing some sort of ankle boot.
It's some type of ankle boot, which I also really, I really like as like a shoe for this outfit. Tough competition here. Like, I think all three outfits have good pieces about them. I think I'm going to go with the last outfit, honestly. I think it's great. Like, I think that like the shoulder pads really make that look and the bedazzled aspects of it. Like, I think it's great.
Do you think that she bedazzled it herself?
Maybe her mom bedazzled it.
Yeah, maybe they did it together. Okay, so next up it is the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award. So this is the most timeless outfit. My first nomination, I was originally going to count these two as two separate outfits, but they are so similar that I'm just going to slap them together for fun. And this is Alan Matthews in episode 8's version. He is wearing a white Henley shirt. In episode 9's option or version, he's wearing a navy Henley shirt. In both versions, he's wearing a gold watch and some light jeans. And then some high top Converse sneakers. And you know that this is really like a Converse sneaker because it has the Converse logo. Yeah. So this they're not getting some Payless version of the shoe. They have sprung up for a real Converse.
Yeah, they were definitely sponsored here because he has his foot like on the coffee table, like very obviously showing off that logo. I love this look for Alan. It's very like casual dad, and then you add in the Converse and he immediately loses like 10 years off of his life. Like he just de-ages. He youngifies, if you will.
Do you like the navy shirt or the white shirt?
I think
shirt
I like the
better.
White shirt. I think it's a clean, very clean look. He looks like he should be in like a Calvin Klein ad, kind of. Especially when he's holding the guitar. No, I love Alan. Yes. I think he has like, this is a very good look for Alan. He's very cash. We see him a lot in like his business attire. So I love any chance we get to see Alan in a more casual look.
I do too. Next up, we have Corey, and this was an Fear Strikes Out at the poetry reading, and he is wearing a white shirt, Kind of looks like a Henley as well. Mm-hmm. And then under that, he is wearing, like, just a pullover red sweater that I feel like literally every man in the universe has, like, this sweatshirt or sweater or a version of it. And some jeans. I just think that it's something that you can totally just see anybody wear.
Yeah. No, this is a very typical, like, manly masculine outfit, I guess. I mean, even, like, a woman, honestly. Like, anybody could really have this type of sweater. Yeah. Maybe it's slightly more baggy than it would be outside of the 90s. But, no, you're right. Like, you could see somebody wearing this exact outfit and not look twice at it because it's very just typical, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, casual, with maybe a darker wash jean if we're going more modern. Yes. Yeah, I like Corey's season two outfits. We're getting out. We're getting outside of the, like, three blocks of color, a lot of purple. Yeah. He's looking a little bit more his age, more teenagery, I think.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that his wardrobe definitely stepped up the season.
Yeah.
And then finally, I have this beautiful ensemble that Sean is wearing, and I would say that this is timeless because it is like David Rose from Schitt's Creek has entered the party. He said, "This is my artwork. Mwah, 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 mwah.
Oh my god.
I will bestow my outfits onto young Sean." So Sean is wearing a, like, wine colored turtleneck, black pants, but the thing that makes this outfit outstanding is this overcoat that he's wearing. And I don't even know how I can describe this besides it is black, it is white, it has texture to it that is, like, see-through, and there is squiggles, vertical squiggles. And I've never seen a shirt like this before, but I only want to see shirts like this from now on. Outstanding, gorgeous, beautiful. And tell me that this does not remind you of David.
It does, mainly because it's, like, black and white and it's interesting to look at. Because that's what a David Rose piece is. It's black and white, yes, and it's interesting to look at. I think the only, yes, thing that pulls me out of it is because he has, like, a red shirt underneath. I think if it's David Rose,
I personally like the red shirt.
I think if it's David Rose, it's a black or a white undershirt. I don't think it's a red one. Maybe. Personally, I do not like this overcoat at all.
No.
I don't like it.
No,
it's so
it.
Much. It's, I am not someone who wears, like, particularly loud clothing. I mean, I'll wear, like, patterns and stuff, mostly in dresses. But I just, to me, this is a very loud shirt. And also, I don't know how I feel about Sean in, like, a miniature turtleneck, which is what this red shirt is. I don't know how I feel about it. I think it's interesting to look at. It's certainly something that's new. I mean, I think if we're looking between Corey and Sean, I think obviously Sean has the more interesting wardrobe. He usually chooses these, like, almost like Hawaiian shirt type of shirts to go over top of long sleeve shirts a lot of the time. But if we're going most timeless, I mean, I think it's interesting. Do I think it's very timeless? I mean, if this would certainly catch my eye if someone was wearing it nowadays. But I think that the most classic timeless outfit is Alan's outfit of a Henley, jeans, and Converse. And I mean, it's not as mm-hmm. boring as some of them can be because I think the Converse mm-hmm. really do make the outfit for me.
Yeah. Also, do you see this little, like, honorable mention I have of Topanga's?
Yes.
Outfit. I love this look. It's a black sweater turtleneck tucked into, like, this little blue skirt and some, like, chunky blue socks on the bottom.
Yeah, I love so this cute. Outfit for her. I love a chunky sock with a skirt. I think, like, this needs to come back as a thing if it's not already.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so there's cute. Nothing cuter than, like, a little bit of a longer sock with, like, a shorter skirt. Yeah. No, I think that this was, like, I think you had so many options to choose from for these two episodes. Like, the
very
fashion
lucky.
Was on point for these two episodes. I loved it. Yeah. So, yeah, so we had another point for Topanga and Alan. Topanga for Rachel Green Award and Alan for Paul Rudd's Certificate of Timelessness.
Yep.
These were two great episodes. I'm really, yeah, I'd be good. Interested I'm to happy. Hear any, like, feedback from any listeners on, like, what they think of our new format. I'm really enjoying doing two episodes. I think it allows us to stop down on it. It allows us to like maybe spend more time on like more significant storylines and kind of like speed through stuff that isn't exactly as necessary. I also really like having the two to kind of compare against each other. I just think like, I don't know, I'm really enjoying this format. I really loved these two episodes. So I think we're kind mm-hmm. of getting, I feel like, and disagree if you think differently, but like, I think we're now finally getting into like, this is what I remembered Boy Meets World to be. Like season one was fun, mm-hmm.
yeah.
but it was also a lot more yeah. like juvenile. And I think now we're getting into right. the topics that interest us more than maybe season one had to offer.
Yeah. I mean, not for nothing though. We did have a great time covering.
Of course. One. Of course. No, we're going to have fun no matter what. But I do think that mm-hmm. this is the stuff that I remember more is
yeah. this. No, season. I agree. I do agree with you.
Yeah, this was great. I'm really enjoying this. We're obviously still going to continue next week with the same format. So we'll be talking season two, episodes 10 and 11. And then obviously more Dawson's Creek. We just finished season one. So now is like the perfect time. If you want to binge and catch up with us for season two, we're going to be doing our season one wrap up, this week for Dawson's Creek, a shorter season. So obviously we kind of sped through it a little bit quicker. We finished up our Mary-Kate and Ashley March. March is, I mean, not over yet, but by the time you listen to this, it will be, coming up into April. Sarah, what do we have going on for April?
So we have coming up currently is Passover until April 4th. So happy Passover to all who observes. So we are having Sasha come on and we are covering Rugrats Passover episode, which is a great episode. Very informative. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to talking to Sasha about it. And of course, having Sasha on since she's so fabulous.
Yes, very excited for that, especially because we did cover the Hanukkah episode of Rugrats. And I remember the Passover episode much more than the Hanukkah one.
I do too.
So I'm very, very excited for that.
Yeah. And then aside from that, we have something Boy Meets World related as a bonus episode in the future.
Yeah, it's in the works right now. We don't want to announce anything yet because we're still working on it. But that'll be coming up as well in April. I'm really, really excited for that too. So
yeah, that's going
to
be a fun one.
Yes. So more exciting things to come from us here. Obviously, community building is still going on. We are up to debate 109. So we're on episode 9 of season 1 there with Josh and I. It's been a lot of fun. I'm really, really enjoying that podcast as well.
Yeah, I think you know I've been following along. I listen. You record on Saturdays, mm-hmm. and if you're a patron of Post Show Recaps, they release the episode the same day for you. So I listen typically on Saturdays as well, mm-hmm. Typically doing the dishes or doing some housework. So it's always fun listening to you guys and listening to all of your guests because you have a new guest on every week.
Yeah, that's a big thing about the podcast is we love bringing in different fans, either whether you're a huge fan of community or like you're a new fan to community. It's been really fun having on different guests every week and just like getting to pick people's brain about the show. It's been a really, really fun part.
Who do you have coming on this coming Saturday? I don't know if I recall.
That one is still TBD. We have someone in the works, but we'll announce closer to the end of the week just to get things cemented a little bit more. But the guests we have coming up are like so other. I mean, everybody's awesome.
Oh,
I'm like very excited though because we have like a lot of really fun guests scheduled.
She's bragging.
Yes. So that's what we have. That's what we have going on. Obviously, social media as always at Shit90sPod on Twitter, Instagram. If you want to send in a long form email, which we always appreciate, Shit90sPod@gmail.com. 5-star reviews, ratings, subscribe, all of that, you know, normal spiel that we give you guys. Also, by the time this comes, or by the time we're recording our next podcast, Easter will already be over, right? So happy Easter to all those to celebrate. Is that right? Do I have the date right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Double checking.
Easter is on this coming Sunday.
What is time anymore?
I know.
So, yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Wait, no. This comes out on Thursday. Easter's coming.
Yeah. Easter's coming up. But by the time we record the next one, Easter will already be over.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
So, happy Easter to everybody who observes. We hope you guys have a happy Passover, happy Easter, holiday season again. Keep your eyes peeled for that Rugrats pod coming out with Sasha. We're super excited for that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think that's everything we've got, right? Did I miss anything?
No, that's it. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody. Have a good one.
Shit 90 shows taught me.